Radio Krishna presents Stories from the Mahabharata, or the History of Greater India.
Today's story is The Plans for the 13th Year. Yudhisthira collected all the people round him, those who were till then his companions, and said,
"It is known to all of you that we have been asked to spend 12 years in the forest, and the 13th year incognito. With you all as my companions, we managed to spend the 12 years, but for your company we would have found it very hard, impossible, I should say, to bear our misfortune. Now the 12 years are over. We request you for permission to leave you and go into hiding. We have to be in disguise, and no one should know our whereabouts. I hope that I can, at the end of the next year, get my kingdom back and be able to have you all with me forever and ever."
As he was saying these words, Yudhisthira's voice failed. He broke down with sorrow and almost fainted. So great was the emotion in his heart at the thought of leaving them and going away into the unknown. Daumya pacified him and said that, like the sun which emerges from behind a dark cloud, the Pandavas would shine forth after the year was over. Bhima had to console Yudhisthira and cheer him up. Yudhisthira took leave of all the dwellers in the forest. They were blessed then and went away. The Pandavas, with Draupadi and Daumya, went to a lonely place and began to consider their future plans. Yudhisthira said,
"I want to know all your opinions about the country which we have to choose as our next dwelling place. We must be safe from the eyes of Duryodhan and his spies."
Arjuna exclaimed,
"There are many beautiful places. We can choose from any of them. I could suggest Panchala, Matsya, Salva, or we'd go to Videha. There's Dwarka, Kalinga, there's Magadha. I've also heard that the city called Virat is a very picturesque city. But there are so many cities. We can be unnoticed only in a city. You must choose one of these, and we will abide by your decision."
Yudhisthira remarked,
"Considering everything, I feel that the city you spoke about, Virata, in the Matsya kingdom, is the one most suited to our purpose. I would have loved to go to Panchala or Dwarka, but they will be the first places where Duryodhan will look for us. As for the other countries, I do not know much about the kings, but I do know that the king of Matsya is a good man. He's well known for his noble and generous qualities. He's not young either, I seem to remember. He's a man I'm sure to like. We will spend the next 12 months in the city called Virata. Now, if that's settled, what are the roles we are going to play? We have to decide on that also."
From being a subject of worry, the 13th year was now trying to appear to them an adventure. They discussed it with enthusiasm, but suddenly a sadness fell on the younger brothers of Yudhisthira. Arjun said,
"My lord, you have been the lord of the whole earth. Even during the 12 years in the forest, you have never had to obey orders from anyone. How will you be able to work under any man, no matter how good he is? And how can we bear to see you as a dependent under some king? You can't work under any master. I can't even bear the thought of it."
Yudhisthira smiled and took Arjuna's hands in his. He wiped his eyes gently and said,
"Arjuna, don't be unhappy. I will not let anyone insult me. I have decided to be the companion to the king, not his servant. listen to me, here's my plan. I will go to the king and tell him that my name is Kanka. I will wear garments suited to a person who has few desires in this world. I will tell him that my knowledge of the Vedas and the philosophies is profound. I will wear garlands of tulsi and crystals, and I will be chanting on my beads all the time. I will also tell him that I am proficient in the game of dice.
Here the face of Yudhisthira was lit up by a mischievous smile. He looked at Bhima, who looked at him and then looked at the ground, a blush suffusing his face. Yudhisthira continued,
I will keep him company all the time. I have a feeling I'm going to enjoy these 12 months.
Everyone thought that his idea was good. The Matsya king was sure to treat their brother honorably. Yudhisthira then asked Bhima,
Now the next question is about you, dear Bhima. How are you going to conceal your strength and anger for 12 months? Remember, for the sake of a few flowers that Draupadi wanted, you destroyed a whole army of Rakshasas? On the least pretext, on the least provocation, your eyes become copper red. I don't know how you are going to stay for 12 months in Virata, obeying the orders of others. What are you planning to do, beloved Bhima?
Well, Bhima smiled and said,
Please don't worry about me, my brother. I have decided on the role I am going to play. I will be chief cook in the kitchen of the king. You know, cooking's always been my favorite hobby. I enjoy cooking tasty dishes, and now I'll use that accomplishment to advantage. I'll go to the king, approach him with the proposal that I take charge of his kitchen. Maybe I'll also tell him I'm a great wrestler, and that way I'll get the charge of his gymnasium, and I'll train all the youngsters in the art of wrestling. The king will like that, I'm sure. If he asks for any references, I will tell him that I was previously employed in the kitchen of Yudhisthira, and that since he has gone into exile, I had to look elsewhere for work. That since I had heard that the Matsya king is very much like Yudhisthira, that I wanted to stay with him. He's sure to believe me. I'll call myself, Valhalla.
Yudhisthira asked Arjun what were his plans. He did not know how Arjun would be able to conceal his bravery and live like a tame servant. He was sorry for the trouble that they all had to go through because of him. But Arjun said,
My lord, there is one disguise I have. I decided on it a long time ago. I'm sure you have not forgotten the curse of Orvasi. Indra told me that it had to be borne by me for just a year. He told me, too, that it would come in useful during this year. So here's the point. I am well known for the scars on both my shoulders because of my being ambidextrous, so I cannot be recognized by those scars. The only way I can hide it is by covering my chest and shoulders by a blouse, as women do. I'll wear my hair long so that my wide shoulders may be hidden. I also know the art of dancing, singing, and playing on all musical instruments. I will tell the king that I am a very good teacher of music and dancing. I will offer to train the women in his harem to be excellent singers and dancers. Since I will be a eunuch for 1 year due to the curse, the king will have no misgivings about allowing me into the women's chambers. I will call myself, how about Brihanala?
Yudhisthira looked at his younger brother Nakula, and he was so beautiful. How was he going to hide this beauty and his pride? He was very sensitive and so easily hurt. How could he bear this life of servitude? Nakula smiled at him and said,
My dear brother, you know how good I am at the art of training horses. I seem to have a way with them. They listen to what I say. I can coax them to do anything I ask. I'll demonstrate before the king my power over those animals. He's sure to let me stay in his stables, and I will be the man who will be in charge of the king's horses. I'll call myself, Damagranti.
Sahadev was the last. Yudhisthira said that Sahadev, although a child, was wiser than Brihaspati the sage, and more diplomatic than even Sukra the divine guru. He was the wisest of the five Pandavas. There was nothing that he did not know. He was a great politician, and none had ever seen the like of him. He was the favorite child of their mother, and when he left Hastinapur, she was most unhappy at the thought of parting from him. How could he let such a child do service under an ordinary man? What was he planning to do? And at this, Sahadev laughed softly and said,
I am no child, my lord. I'll be able to tackle the king as cleverly as any of you. I'll make him see my knowledge of cows. Virat is a king whose chief wealth is cattle, and I'm very good at making the cows yield the best milk in the whole world. I am rather good at handling cows and bulls, just as my brother is with horses. I'll call myself by the name Tantripala.
Yudhisthira then looked at Draupadi, his wife. He felt miserable to ask her what she was proposing to do. He asked,
Draupadi, you are more dear to us than our very lives. You are also dear to our mother Kunti, and you're tender as well as delicate. How will you be able to work, and what can you do? I'm worried about you and your sensitive nature, and the fact that you've suffered so much already. You must go through just another 12 months. Tell me, what are you planning to do?
Draupadi smiled very lovingly at him and said,
My lord, why should you be so upset? When you, who had been the lord of the world, when you can do menial service, when Bhima, who can never obey anyone except you, when he can also do menial service in the kitchen of the king, when my Arjuna, who is the greatest of archers in this world, an archer who has defied Indra himself, when he can dance and sing, when this handsome Nakula, when he can be a stable boy, when Sahadev, the wise and gentle Sahadev, when he can be a cowherd, can I not do my little piece to make these 12 months pass safely and quickly? I will be Sai Randri. I will approach the queen and tell her that I am a clever woman. I am capable of decorating other ladies. I will tell her that I can dress the hair in 100 different ways. I will show her that I can string flowers of any shape and any size into beautiful garlands. I can show her how I can perfume her as no one else can. Look on my accomplishments in the fascinating art of personal decoration. She can never refuse to let me stay with her. I will take care of myself. Let us proceed to Vairata.
Yudhisthira was very pleased with the arrangements. He was eager to embark on this new adventure. The Pandavas left Vaitavan and went to Kamyaka. From there, they reached the banks of the river Jamuna. They walked along the southern bank of the Jamuna. They passed many beautiful forests and gardens. They reached the boundary of the kingdom of Matsya. Draupadi said,
It looks as though the capital city is still very far off, and I am extremely tired. Please let us rest here for the night and proceed further in the morning.
Yudhisthira wanted to go some more distance and then call a halt. He therefore asked one of his brothers to carry Draupadi some distance. Nakula and Sahadev were already too tired themselves. Arjun carried Draupadi to the outskirts of the city of Virata. It was a pleasing sight to see him carry her. With his form draped in rough garments made of tree bark, he looked like a dark rain cloud with a streak of lightning across its bosom. And the hiding of their weapons was the next problem. They had to leave behind them. Yudhisthira said,
If we enter the city with these, it's certainly going to cause a commotion in the streets, and we shouldn't attract the attention of anyone. The world will be full of the spies of our dear cousin Duryodhan.
The others agreed, and Yudhisthir continued.
This Gandiva bow is too well known, Arjun. It must not be seen. If even one of us is seen with one of our famous weapons, the fact will be reported to Hastinapur. What then about all five of our weapons? We have to wrap them up carefully and leave them safely somewhere. We can come back for them in a year.
Arjun said,
This is the place where they burn buried bodies, just beyond the city. Look, my lord, there is a tall Sami tree there. It's huge, its branches are dense and strong, it's immense in size, and it looks pretty fearful and foreboding. I don't think many people will walk around here because of the inauspiciousness of all the ashes of dead people. Let's wrap our weapons in a piece of leather, make a bundle resemble a corpse, and we'll hang the bundle from the topmost branch of the tree. I don't think anyone will have the courage to inspect it. Then we can go to the city. Let's finish this job and spend the night here. Draupadi is also very tired. That way we can enter the city tomorrow.
Yudhisthira approved of the idea. He collected all the weapons. It was a wrench for each one of them to give up his bow and arrows and swords and other things. They were the only companions they had till then. Very tenderly, Arjun wrapped his Gandiva bow after loosening its string. Just before unstringing it, Arjun twanged his bow just once, as if to say,
Till we meet again.
All their eyes were wet when the putting away of the weapons was being completed. It was all over. The bows and arrows and other weapons were very carefully and very tenderly wrapped up. Arjun invoked the gods above and said,
I call upon all of you to be present here now to hear me. I ask Brahma, Indra, Kuvera, Varuna, Rudra, Yama, Vishnu, Surya, and Chandra, the sky, the earth, Agni, and the Maruts. I ask all of you to guard these, our dearest possessions. I hold you all to treat them as hostages. At the end of the year of our exile incognito, I request you to return these weapons, either to me or to Arjuna. They must not be given to Bhima, even if he asks for them. He is short-tempered. He is always angry with the sons of Dhritarashtra. He may, in a mad moment, claim these weapons without my knowing, in his anger against the cousins. He may also do it before the year is completed. Ye gods, these must be guarded by you. I call upon all of you to bless us and send us forth into the unknown. You must guard us against discovery. We do not want to be exiled for another 12 years. We mean to fight the sons of Dhritarashtra. That is the end towards which we are traveling. Please bless us.
Yudhisthir climbed the tree himself and placed the bundle on it. He came down from the tree. Looking at Bhima and the tears in his eyes, Yudhisthir embraced him and they wept for a long time. He pacified his younger brother with gentle words, stroking him all the while with loving hands. The Pandavas were about to leave the place. Some villagers were looking at the ritual of climbing the tree, the deposition of the corpse and the recital of some incantations. They also saw that they were all weeping and that each was consoling the other. They saw Draupadi sobbing as if her heart would break. The villagers came near. The Pandavas told them that it was the dead body of their mother, that according to their custom funeral rites, they should not be performed, that the body had to be hung just like that for years, that if anyone did dare to disturb the body, death would fall immediately on them. The villagers believed the story. No one dared even to come near the Pandavas. In fact, they fled. Yudhisthir smiled at their credulous nature. He saw the carcass of a cow there, and he told Sahadev,
Look, here's a dead cow. Let's take off its hide and wrap it around our corpse
And so it was done. It was a sensible thing to do, since the weather would not harm the weapons any more now. The Pandavas left that spot. 1,000 times they looked back, and sighs escaped all of them. They had to think of the days ahead of them now. There was no chance of their meeting each other. Till now, though they were in exile, they were always together. But these 12 months, they would have to be parted. Moreover, they had to behave as strangers. That was the most terrible part of the ordeal. They decided on names for themselves, which should be used as codes in case some emergency arose. These names were Jai, Jayesha, Vijay, Jayatsena, and Jayadbala. The Pandavas then entered Virat. The next day dawned. They all bathed in the river. Yudhisthira then put on his disguise. He bade farewell to his brothers and to Draupadi and walked towards the palace of the king. He reached it in a short time. The king presented a noble picture. Yudhisthira was pleased with his appearance. He advanced boldly to the presence of the king. He did not salute the king, though. Yudhisthira just stood there. It looked as though one king was visiting another. The king of the Matsyas looked at him and spoke to himself.
I wonder who this person can be. He hasn't bothered to salute me, and yet, for some reason, I don't feel offended. In fact, I have an impulse to get up and honor him. I feel that he may be offended if I do not salute him. He's dressed like a Brahmin, but his walk is that of a Kshatriya. He walks like a tiger. He looks as though he is born to rule the world. I can't imagine who he is, but he does charm me with his noble carriage. I must try to please him in every way.
While these thoughts were taking shape in the mind of the king, Yudhisthira had approached the throne. The king got up from his throne and walked to the spot where Yudhisthira was standing. He took him by the hand and said that he was honored by the presence of a Brahmin like this, and he would be happy to do anything that Yudhisthira had wanted him to. Yudhisthira stated the facts in a simple, short manner. He could not tell a lie, but he had to conceal the truth. He said,
I was a great friend of King Yudhisthira, the lord of Indraprast. You must have known of Yudhisthira, who had to live in the forest with his brothers and their queen, as a consequence of a game of dice. You can call me the soul of Yudhisthira, so dear were we to each other. My name is Kanka. I used to spend all my time with Yudhisthira, and I am just as fond of the game of dice as he is. But now I am a little clever at it than what he was at the time when he played and lost. He could never do anything without my knowledge. But Yudhisthira is now in hiding. I am grieved at the fate that has overtaken him and his brothers. I've come to you for help. You are equal to Yudhisthira in your nobleness, so I've been told. Hence I have come to you. I have now no one whom I can call mine. I have no father, no mother, no one depending on me. I have no belongings. Today, happiness and sorrow weigh the same to me. Pleasant and unpleasant mean the same thing to me now. I am free of all desires. I've come to you in search of peace. Can I get it?
Virata was touched by the dignified manner in which Yudhisthira spoke his words. His eyes were full of reverence, and he said that he had honored their city by his presence. They were happy to have him there. Virata was also extremely fond of dice and was happy to get some player who could teach him to play the game as it ought to be played. And Virata told Yudhisthira that he must use the kingdom and its wealth as if it were his own. But Yudhisthira said,
I have no need for all this wealth, O king. I have only one boon to ask of you. I don't want to eat food that's been touched by anyone. I will eat just once in the night. I've taken an oath that I would observe this until 1 year is gone. I hope you will not be offended by my strange behavior.
The kings agreed to his conditions. Thus ended the first meeting between the two kings.
You've been listening to Stories from the Mahabharata, the celebrated history of Greater India. Compiled by the great sage Vyas many thousands of years ago, Mahabharata is written in the Sanskrit language in verse form and is here adapted for radio and brought to you by Radio Krishna. Tune in again for our next presentation of Stories from the Mahabharata.